Adam, think of an adjective.
Shit. I don't know.
All right. I got this. Ready?
All right. Yeah.
All right. Welcome back to the world's most elongated drifting podcast. Today, I got a very special guest. I have Mr. Steal Your Girl, Colin Gillespie, and my co-host today is Adam Bergner.
Yeah. What's up?
How's it going, guys?
Oh, great.
I told you it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, jeez, I'm lost. I'm lost. Okay, okay. So, Colin, you drift.
Oh, yeah.
How do you like it?
Oh, it's great. Look, it's expensive. Really
Dude,
expensive.
It's so expensive.
Very expensive.
But
it's worth it.
You doing Pro-Am?
Yeah.
This coming year?
Mm-hmm.
You ready for it?
No. Car is a bear shell right now. But, happens.
I don't know, those videos that you and your brother have been posting about you tearing it down.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of those.
You like those?
Yeah. It was just easy to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, the one, we did it last year, and then I wanted to do it this year, and the car was actually torn apart back in November, December. But I never got B-roll because I had it sent out to get the firewall done. So that was all done like 2 months ago.
You did a good choice on that firewall being right behind the cage.
Mm-hmm.
My firewall sucks.
Yeah, because I was going to put the fuel cell, because we were doing a fuel cell this year, like on the behind the passenger seat, and I was debating on doing that or doing the like enclosure that you have to do, but it was so much easier just because you can have free range of behind the cage or the firewall.
Oh, yeah. Are you getting a surge tank?
Yeah.
Yep. Good.
Especially right next to me.
All right, show it. Show it to the people. They need to know. Oh, man. Is that radium?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You got to return that.
No. Gotta the products are great.
Yeah, but Nuke performance. Mm. I'm just saying.
Josh is a big Nuke guy.
Yeah.
Slightly sponsored by them, so got to plug them whenever
you
I gotta can.
Got to blur that out.
Yeah, just I'll put a video or a photo of Austin over so they can't see it.
There we go.
Yeah. So let's get into the fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about your orange 350Z.
Oh boy. Yeah. So before that Z was actually my first car was a white Z, but it was automatic. Oof. Yeah. It was pretty bad. It looked cool, but it was pretty bad. And coming out of high school, my buddy had that orange 350Z, but he was going to college. And I just sold the white one because I wanted to buy a manual one. And at our graduation like party, he was like, hey, I know you're into Zs and stuff. You want this one for $4,000? And I was like, sold everything I had to get it. Like, didn't know what I was doing. And I bought that, and then, yeah, things escalated and... Yeah.
So then you went and watched a round of FD and tell me about your experience then going into your first event.
Okay, yeah. So I bought the orange Z. I made some modifications and then I don't even remember how I found it, but I signed up for Summer Mats in 21. And then that was like 2 weeks after FD, and we were going to go watch FD, and I'd never seen drifting in person, only on YouTube. And so we show up to the track, and I'm like, I mean, it's obviously FD, and I'm watching the cars just rip around the bank, everything, and I'm like, oh, shit, I got to do this in 2 weeks? Like I didn't realize how different they were. So my first experience even seeing drifting was FD, so that's all I knew.
I mean, at least... You watched and got a good taste of it.
Yeah. Yep.
So, why'd you switch to an E46? What was the plan behind that?
So, the end of that 21 season, well, I wanted to put a bunch of money into the Z, but everything was so expensive. Like, if you got a full angle kit and all that. And so I always was looking into E46s, E36s, and I almost bought an E36 off Chelsea Denofa.
I just bought parts off him last night.
Did you? Yeah, but we couldn't figure out shipping and stuff. And then literally the next day, my dad's friend at his work sent him a listing for one in Menor, which I'm basically live in Menor.
Yeah.
For $1,000, and it was just a bad shake. It's just a tire. The thing was perfectly mint. So we picked up that, and I was like, all right, well, if I sell my Z, I'll have money to put parts into it. And sort of like Ben's story, my dad's girlfriend's daughter's boyfriend was at Olive Garden. He's like, oh, you're into drifting and stuff, right? I was like, yeah. He's like, I have a 240 in a storage unit from Tennessee that's rust-free. I was going to LS swap it, and he's like, if you want it, you can have it for $500. And I'm like, when we picking this thing up? Like, so pick that up for $500. And then he also was like, yeah, I was going to LS swap it. I have a T56 if you want it for $300. And I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. So then I went out. We bought the 240, the T56, and we still had the E46 and the Z. And I was like, well, I know BMW parts are cheap, so I sold the Z for $5,000. I sold the 240 bare shell for $2,500.
Jeez.
And I ended up giving money back to him because he was a family friend, but I gave him a cut. And then there was something weird with the T56 where I'm not sure if like he didn't know or I didn't know when I bought it, but it was like out of it was for an LT or something.
Oh, yeah,
something.
An LT, so I know, one has like a different faceplate and takes a different bell housing.
Okay, that might have been it. But I ended up selling that for $800, so I have like a bunch of money to put into the E46. So that off season, I literally spent a ton of money and put that into the E46. So never looked back.
Why are you not LS swapping that thing?
Well, at the time, I had bought a 5.3, and then I had a T56. The T56 was wrong, the wrong one, obviously. And then at the time, I knew I didn't have enough money to swap anything. So I was like, might as well sell it and just put the money like other places on the car. And then this past season, when the time came, I've always been into turbos and inline sixes, and I don't regret it at all.
What kind of power does your car make?
4 to 10, I think it made on the dyno.
Jeez, that's respectable. Oh.
Is it a stock M50?
Yep, stock M50 non-Vanos. Nice. The only thing I did to it was head studs. So
nice.
I actually got that motor for $150 off of JP.
Can't beat that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm adjusting Adam's video. He's a little blown out.
Yeah, it's probably from the window behind me.
Oh, man. We'll get there. Sorry to the people listening, because I'm not smart enough to get rid of this part of the video. We're professionals, I swear. So let's dive deep. Talk to me about staying up for 72 hours to get this car done for round one.
Okay, so I've always been sort of a procrastinator. I forget who said it, but I like to say productively procrastinating. So I put it off until I have to do it, and it ends up getting done. But so it was, I'm not really sure where the car was at, like 2 weeks before round one, but it was like it needed wired, like whole engine harness, chassis harness, everything needed figured out. And so I took basically 2 weeks off of work. I took all my PTO out, spent like every night in the garage up to like 4 a.m. And then I think it was a Tuesday before round one. I'd stayed up 72 hours because we had might have been Wednesday. Well, either Tuesday or Wednesday, I stayed up 24 hours. We got the car ready for the dyno, had it on the loaded and everything. And we had already stayed up 24 hours at this point. And there was a guy local to me who has a dyno and like tunes and everything. So I was like, oh, I was going to take it to Jerry. but he was an hour away, and I was like, why not just go local, because I can always come to this guy. And we show up, we're sitting there, it's the Thursday before round one, so round one's Friday, so we're sitting there Thursday, and he cannot get this thing started, and we wired the whole engine harness, so we're sitting there like, we fucked something up, like, because we had an idea of what we were doing, but like, it was our first time doing it. So we think it's our fault, whatever. We're there for like 8-9 hours. Things still wouldn't start. We're like swapping parts out, double checking things. And like throughout the time, I was like, does this guy like not know what he's doing? But he was like, he's more familiar with Haltech than Link. But he said he could do it, so I didn't really question it.
Real quick, and, who was it?
I know his name is Jared. I forget the name of the shop, but
no, it's not important. It's,
yeah, but he actually comes into the story later too. But so then we leave there. It's like 6 p.m. The car's not started. We're pushing on the trailer. Like, it's me and my dad out there trying to get this thing on the trailer. They left, like, because the shop was closed. And so I messaged Jerry because we had talked about, like, tuning it before. And I messaged so my buddies Matt Lang and Walk. their buddy Steve Matt was telling me about that he tuned cars and stuff. So I messaged him. I was like, anyone I can get to help. So Steve didn't respond. Jerry was like, bring it here. It's like 8 p.m. at this point. He's like, bring it here. We'll tune it tonight. And I was like, oh, sick. Like, I didn't think that was so going to happen. So we load up the car. I already have no sleep from before. Load up the car, go to Jerry's. Jerry has it fired up in a matter of 5 minutes. There's no wiring issues. There's no, it was just tuner. And there was some issues, I think, with the alternator and the throttle body wiring that we had to figure out. So while we're sitting there and he's figuring that out, this E39 wagon pulls up and Steve gets out of it tuning someone's car. Like, he never texted me back. I didn't know where he was. He lives near me. Mm-hmm. So we're an hour away. Steve pulls up in this random wagon, and he's like guru with wiring. And so he starts looking over the car. I'm just like trying to take in all that's happening, because Jerry had the car started. Steve randomly showed up after I texted him, and there's wiring issues. And Steve's like, you know what? Let's trailer it back to my house. We'll stay up all night. We'll fix it, and we'll come back to the dyno in the morning. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, fuck it. This is what we got to do, right? So I towed the car to Steve's house. We were up till, like, well, I didn't go back. I didn't sleep. So we were, like, up till 7 a.m. rewired parts of the car. And then, like, I'm on no sleep, and he tosses me the keys to his Porsche. He's like, go get his coffee. I'm like, it's, like, raining outside. So I'm on 48 hours no sleep, driving his Porsche to McDonald's to get coffee. I don't regret any of it. But then, so I didn't crash it, so we're good in that aspect. But, and then went back to Steve's house, loaded the car up, went to Jerry's dyno in the morning. And on the dyno, he's, like, doing pulls, like, getting it set in, and oil starts dripping from under the motor. And I'm just like, oh, my God. So it looked like it was coming from the valve cover gasket. So we pulled the car off the dyno. He had another appointment, so I couldn't go right back on. Thank God the O'Reilly's near there had a gasket, so I swapped that out. We get it back started, and it's still pouring out oil. And I was like, what is going on? Where is this coming from? It blew the O-ring out of the cam sensor. So we swapped a different cam sensor in there, and it was perfectly fine. We tuned it, and I ended up what was it? We ended up getting out of there late. Like, I think seating bracket already happened. Whatever. Yeah, because I was watching Top 32 while we were buttoning some things up. And that night, we were like, had everything loaded, ready to go. And I'm like pulling it into the trailer, and a power steering line blows out. And I was like, maybe it's not meant to be. Maybe I just don't go. Like, so then I ended up just sleeping. And then, what did we do? We like jerry rigged the power steering, and I was able to drive Sunday. But It was rough. Stayed up 72 hours straight and didn't even make it.
Damn, yeah. Dude, that's rough.
Mm-hmm.
Good hustle, though, for sure.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that doesn't happen again this year.
Dude, let's not have any issues this year. I'm sick of fixing stuff. What?
Oh, no.
What? Holy shit, we had some technical difficulties there. As you can see, I'm on a new camera. If you're listening, you can't see that. So, okay, we talked about not having issues, then immediately having video and internet issues. Then after that, yeah, we talked about round one, correct? That's where we're at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so.
And then now we're right here. So.
Yeah. Tell shit show round one.
Tell me about your clutch issues at round two.
Oh, boy. Not even that. The other issues that started before that. So, when we tuned the car for round one, they were on 650cc injectors, and we couldn't get to 400. My goal was 400, and I was like, it was on E. But it just didn't make sense because I figured that would be enough for 400 horsepower. And so we were like, I'll put 1,000cc injectors on it, and we'll just go get it retuned. Especially because I knew round two was the bank. So,
oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I put the injectors in it, loaded the car up, and I'm like, oh, the catch can lines are loose. So I tightened down the catch can lines, and then we went to the dyno, and sitting there, he's doing pulls. Or before we start doing pulls, sitting there, and I'm just looking at the motor, and I'm like, is that cylinder six unplugged? Like, coil pack? And I was like, I looked at Jared, I was like, was it like that when we tuned it before? And we were like, no way. Like, we would have known. And so we pulled up a picture when it was on the dyno before, and coil pack number six is unplugged. The whole time. The whole tune. Whole Sunday. Whole Sunday, we were driving. Like, beating on the car. And we were like, oh my god. So, pulled the plugs, pulled all the coils out, did a compression test, 200 PSI across all six, nothing was wrong. And put different plugs in it, plugged in all six coil packs, and retuned it, and everything was going smooth. Car sounded a lot better because it was on six instead of five. And then he's like doing the pulls again, and all of a sudden a cloud of smoke rolls out the exhaust. Like, he's sitting there. He didn't care. He's flooring it. Smoke is like literally cloud, like thick white smoke rolling from the exhaust. I'm just like, are we gonna stop? Like, is it gonna catch fire? And he's like, had me open another door in the shop, and he like lets off, and just fire starts like shooting from the exhaust. And I'm just sitting there like watching. Like, he's still in there adjusting some stuff. I'm like, the fucking car's on fire. Like, like, what do I do? So then we tried to diagnose it there. Ended up being, so the catch can I had, they sent me the wrong fittings. Oof. And basically when it saw pressure, it closed the catch can so it couldn't breathe. And it blew the turbo seals out. And so this is midweek, and there's like a Painesville event on Saturday. And so I'm like trying to find a turbo locally. Turns out the tuner we went to before Jerry, he's like, oh, I got a turbo that's similar. So I went back to him. I bought the turbo from him and ended up getting back on the dyno. Was it before round two? But I missed the Painesville event. And then we showed up, yeah, round two. And that was the first time I've ever driven the car, like, full power. It made, ended up making, I said before, 410. And that was the first time I drove the car was driving into the bank. So, and literally, you know how after you transitioned into the second outer zone, I think third lap in, like, let off the clutch and floored it, and I felt the clutch just blow apart. And the car, like, sort of stalled. And then, so we were swapping a clutch, and that's around Zach had hit the wall twice. Mm-hmm. He already hit the wall once at one point. Before he hit the wall, I'm under there, we're swapping this clutch, and I forget who was like, Zach just hit the wall, and I was like, I'm under the car, like, holding the trans, and I look over, and Zach's car is coming back on the, with the NASCAR bar. It looks like just mangled, and I was like, how are we going to get this done? Like, and put the clutch in my car. I went out for the rest of practice, and then somehow we got Zach's car back on track. But it was just a shit show of so much going on. Yeah, after – yeah, because after I blew the clutch, we got, like, two or three more practice laps. Because there was – I think that event, there was only 1 3-hour practice session. So – and then I think that round going into – that's the round they did the seating bracket, right?
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yep.
So I had, Cameron Downard.
Yep.
Okay. And so I think I led first. And after the first lap, I pulled up to the line. We were ready to go. And whoever was running grid at the time came up to me. He's like, hey, you have a fuel leak. I'm like, what? Like, never had this issue before. And so. The only time we had it was when we overfilled the tank. Like, the vent wasn't high enough, so it would, like, start shooting off the top. But we came back, and I think some fittings came loose, so thank God we didn't run. So then we couldn't finish the battle in our seating bracket. And going into top 32, I had Mike Sampson. So I was like, okay, whatever. Like, I've barely driven this track. I'm just going to send it as hard as I can. Went to go initiate into the bank and blew an axle out on entry, and so I didn't even get to finish the battle. And we tried the 5-minute timeout, but that's the only side we didn't have a spare for.
Oh,
so that was round two. Yeah. And that night before that, I showed up to the track. The car was wrapped black, but we were up till like 3 a.m. wrapping the car. like everything was just it was rough, but it was fun. I think I actually, out of all rounds, like the bank. I don't know why.
It was fun.
It was fast and fun. And so,
super fast.
I just remember the first lap coming around, like, after the transition and, like, letting off and lighting the car up. Because that's smoke rolling. Like, I was like, this is sweet. Like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was sick.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I didn't get to drive that one. All right, so round one was pretty good for you. Round two was pretty good for you.
Great.
Now, round three, you had a pretty good run.
Yeah. So, yeah, my whole goal, I mean, for the season was just to test the car. But going into round three, I knew we weren't going to do the bank. And, like, I'd done the Alan Boss's clinic after, round two. So I'd driven the car a ton. So I was super confident in it. And we went into round three, and what do we have? First battle.
Oh, I know the answer to this.
You know the answer?
I do.
Oh, was it Kevin? No.
Yeah.
Jordan Becker. Yeah. That. Oh, yeah, because that was a layout that went, like, deep into the middle. Like, yes. The awkward, like. So, yeah, I think our first run was pretty good. And then the second run, he hit me, right, on the transition.
Well, first you guys had, it was like one or two one more times.
Well, I think that was Ferraro.
No, both. Mm-hmm. Both.
Really?
Yeah. And then the third one, when you were leading, he popped you.
Oh, I think that was round four.
No, dude.
That was Steven, right? I don't think I went one more time against
Hey, I Jordan. Watched this 2 days ago.
Did you?
Yes.
How do I not remember that then?
Yeah.
Because then, yeah, because he hit me. I think it was the transition before the last outer zone.
Correct.
But which I watched that video back and it doesn't look hard, but my head like slammed the side of the halo. Like, it was nuts. But then after that, was that Kevin
Ferraro? Yep, for 16 is Kevin.
Yeah. So that went one more time because. I remember the first battle was pretty good, and then the one more time we were going around, I was chasing, going around the first outer zone, and his diff literally, like, blew out of the car.
See, that explains because he, like, straightens, like,
right
after initiation.
Mm-hmm. But, which is funny because when I was building, like, the whole 150 setup, he was my go-to. Like, I probably annoyed him a bunch, but he helped me a ton. So
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have him on within the next couple episodes.
Yeah, because he did some welding, like, for my rear rad, and then Also did the powder coating for my valve cover and stuff.
Nice.
So. Yeah, he's been posting a lot of really cool fabrication stuff lately.
Yeah. 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 That new car he's building is insane.
Yeah, it is. Like absolute work of art.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I'd be afraid to drive that.
Like... All right, so after you defeated him, after your one more time, talk about your battle with Casey.
So I knew, because I think the last lap of practice, I chased him, and I was like expecting him to be super fast, and like I was able to like keep up and door him the whole time. So when I knew I was facing Casey, I was like, oh, this is going to be good. Like, I'm just going to like send it as hard as I can. And I think my lead was pretty good, and my chase was decent. And then what was it? He like doored me like on entry. Like, you can watch the video and you see me enter, and then after we enter, my whole side of my car is like black. But that one I was super happy with, because I knew like when I first started, especially with the Z and stuff, it was cool, because like when I was driving the orange Z, I went up and talked to both Casey and Alan, and they were super cool. And so it was like a cool moment to like be able to win against him, because I'd like just look back on it and it's like, holy shit, like I had no clue what I was doing, and they like helped me from the get-go. And yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, they're good dudes for sure.
Yeah.
All right, then after that, that win, you battled Shorkey in the final four.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's fast. He's really fast.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I got gapped on, like, I got gapped in the straight. Well, I think that battle, I forgot he did, like, a little faint, like, flick entry. Mm-hmm. And I was too focused on keeping up with him that, like, I was so close and he went to flick. I had to, like, let off for a second. And then that just threw my whole run off. Like, I was gapped, and his car is fast, and it wasn't good. Cause I think there's like 2 to 3 car gap the whole chase run. But
yeah, it's hard to fix after that.
Yeah,
yeah. Do you have a spotter?
Yeah, but we had problems with the headsets and stuff, so it was
I had some of that problem too.
Yeah, like that, which actually goes into round four, but I'll explain that when we get there. Yeah. So then Shorkey was just, he was way too fast. And I was running 235 Ironmans that whole round.
Jeez.
And I was like, I got to figure something out. But I lost to Shorkey. And then it was Ryan Reese, I'm pretty sure.
Correct.
In the top 3-4. And I was at that point, I was like, all I want is a trophy. Just give me a trophy. It'd be sick. Like, and so we did our battle, and like, I didn't realize he had cut like a bunch of the infield section, because like we came around the last turn when I was leading, and like he was on my door, and I was like, well, I lost that. Like, and then you get up to like where they decide, and we were sitting there for like 5 minutes, and I'm like, did I have a chance? Like, like, what's taking so long? And then I ended up winning, and I was just like, holy shit! Like, I think I was most excited about that, because I thought I lost. Like,
yeah.
I'd like written that off, but yeah, podium there. And yeah, that was crazy, especially coming from round 1 and 2. It was cool too, because all my family was there, so it was like the perfect weekend.
That's awesome, dude! Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, now round 4. Let's talk about that.
Oh yeah, so I think top 32, I faced Mo.
Correct.
And that car is nuts. Like, which that was another sort of like Ryan Reese situation where I thought I lost, because like he got me on entry, and like I was just trying to make up like distance over the whole track, like for proximity. And it turns out like he missed the whole first outer zone.
Yeah, he cut like half the track.
Yeah. And so like when they chose me to win again, that was another one where I was like, holy shit, like, ow. But rewatching it, it made sense. And then we went into top 16, which the night before, Steven literally got maybe one practice lap, not even. I'm not even sure if he did, but he ended up beating Zach because his, like, calipers were upside down or something. So he's coming into the day with, like, because he was having trouble bleeding them.
Oh, yeah.
So all that whole mess. And so he ended up beating Zach, and then I had him in the top 16. And that dude can drive. Like, he didn't get, like, any practice, and it's insane. Like, I know he's big into the sim, so that's probably why. But, yeah, that dude's nuts. And then we went 3-1 more times, and on my entry on the first one, I couldn't get the car into second. So it was, like, we launched, and I was chasing. And, like, by the time I got the car in second, I was so off pace, and I, like, clutch kicked the car. Because I didn't have enough speed, like, the handbrake, so I clutch kicked, and, like, the boost hit, and it was just all, I, like, fucked the entry up so bad, and I was so pissed, and that's, I think, so Luke was my spotter then, and he was, like, I think he was trying to talk to me in my ear, and I just, like, ripped my headphones out, and I, like, threw them in the passenger seat. I've never been, like, so pissed at myself, because I was, like, I knew I could drive way better, and so I just drove off on the bank, and that's the, Steven saw me driving. And he shut down 1 second before the finish line. And so his run didn't count either. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all. So, because I had taken my headphones out. So I didn't know. And I was like, I don't give a fuck about this car. I will throw this thing into the wall as hard as I can. Like, I was just upset. And I probably put down the best lap I have ever done in my life. Like, because I was ready to write the car off. But we did that. And we pull up to the line. I'm like, I lost. Like, there's no chance I won. Like, I messed up the first run. And they went, they pointed one more time, and I looked at Steven, and I was just like, what the fuck? Like, how? How? And Steven was confused, too, because you don't hear anything in the car, like, unless you have a spotter. But, and then we ended up going 2-1 more times after that, and he ended up beating me. But, yeah, it felt like I had done the whole, like, top 32 because of how many one more times we did. Like, I was exhausted. It's crazy how exhausted you get in the car, like,
so hot too.
It's hot. I'm sweating. The fire suit's like an inch thick, it feels like.
Yeah,
you start getting uncomfortable, and when it's one more time, you don't have any time to, like, get out of the car because you just run it back. But but that was fun. That was a lot of fun driving with Steven. He's a really good driver.
Yeah, I think I got a practice run or two with him at round 4. Mm-hmm. And he's so smooth.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But
so where'd you end up for the season then?
I want to say 13th.
It's not bad for...
No, it's from the first missing one round and basically having a shit show round 2, I'm happy with it. So let's be excited for this upcoming year.
All right. So let's talk about your door falling off in grid. Tell me that story.
Which time?
Which time? What?
So the first time was 2023, I think, when we had the, like, original total loss cars. And, like, the way E46s work is, like, they have, like, 2 pins, and you can, like, pop the door on them. And so I was coming up and transitioning up the bank, and the bump from the bank popped my door out. And it was basically, like, your door was, like, reversed, so it opened from, like, where the, like, hinge would be. And it was hanging off, and I was holding it. And so it drove off track like that. And then this past year, I think I forgot to put the bolt in it to bolt it down, because I was like, that ain't ever happening again. And so first lap with the new car and everything, I enter, hit a bump, and this door flings open. I'll send you a picture of it. Like... The door's hanging off the car. I'm trying to do a lap, holding the door open. Like, it was terrible. And, yeah, I'll have to send you the picture because it's hilarious. And then not to mention that that Saturday or Sunday after I got the car done, I go out, and I was so excited to drive. We never latched the hood. And I entered, the thing opened, and, yeah, it was a rough weekend. But, yeah, that was funny.
I've never had that happen before. That's insane.
Yeah.
Like, what goes through your mind when you're just like, do you shut down the lap, or do you just, like, hold on and keep driving?
Well, I was like, oh, I can keep drifting, like, whatever. Like, the second time it happened, and I, like, was driving one hand with boost, and it was just like, okay, we're pulling off track. Like, then you feel like an idiot because you're holding your door. Like, oh, you just feel like an idiot.
Oh. So... What was it like driving Pro Bro down?
That have yeah, you've driven the road course, right?
I have, yes.
You have? Mm-hmm. Adam, have you?
Nope.
You gotta get out there. That is literally the best track. I mean, I haven't driven a whole lot, but that track is so fun. I didn't realize how much elevation there is.
Dude.
Like coming up that first turn, it's like completely blind, and yeah. That track was so fun. We're going back this year to do it again.
Yeah, when I drove it for the first time, it was for the Friday night like drift party.
Yeah.
And it was the Halloween one, so like it was dark when we started driving.
Oh boy.
And they're like, "Yeah, just enter the second left." It's like, "What second left? I don't see it."
Yeah, there is no turn.
And I'm like first, second, third, and I just launched my car right into the grass. I was like, "Dope."
Yeah. Yeah, in Pearl Brenda and I had to start, there was like an A and B group, so I had to start in B, and I don't know anyone out there, so it was a little awkward. Like, I was just doing solo laps, but it was still so fun.
Well, there, the B group has to only do solo laps.
Yeah.
Which is a little weird. They're super strict with their rules.
Yeah. But it was still cool, because there was like Chelsea and Adam all gridded up, and you're just sitting there like, how did I end up here? Like,
I definitely don't belong here.
Yeah. But
well, I think it's time that we talk about the stuff that everybody wants to talk about.
Oh boy, I gotta be a little conservative on what I say. But
let's just hop into it. Tell your story.
So shortly after PRI, Zach and Amaya had broke up for their own reasons, and shortly after that, we started talking. And things escalated, and we both exchanged, like, how we felt for each other. And I figured, well, we were seeing where things went, and I figured it was just in the best interest to leave the team. And that was – so I left the team before that post was made.
Okay.
So it was almost like he felt like he got fired from a job he quit. But whatever. So, yeah, that's what happened, and that's why I'm off the team now.
That was a super easy explanation.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to say too much because I'm sort of in the middle of everything and I don't want to say anything. But if anyone has any questions, I can always reach out and I can explain more. But
yeah, it's better just to like keep it civil and
be respectable. Yeah.
Because I bet you both could say pretty terrible things about each other, but like, what's the point?
Yeah. I mean, even then, it's like I have no like bad blood for him. Because like, I didn't do it to hurt him, if that makes sense. But
it has nothing to do with him.
Yeah. But we were talking about it, and I was like, if he needed, like, parts of the track or, like, spares or anything, like, I'd go over and help. It's not like, sure, he doesn't want me to do that because of the situation I'm in, but, like, I have no, like, hard feelings for him.
Well, that's good. So,
yeah.
Do you miss the team?
I do, yeah. But at the same time, this past year, we were all sort of, like, not going our own ways, but, like, with the Pro-Am. Like, we just stepped into Pro-Am. And then some other members had stuff going on, so they weren't driving. And, like, especially with this year going in, and it's separate rounds from Matt's series. Like, we weren't all really going to drive together anyways. So that helped the decision. But, yeah, I think Brad and them will still be at the Pro-Am round, so I'll get to see them.
That's good.
Yeah.
So
what's your plan?
Brad.
What's your plan going forward then? Like, what's happening this year? What are you doing?
So as soon as that all went down, I reached out to my main sponsor, Landglide, and see if they wanted to, like, step up as a title sponsor, and they were on board. So we'll have the car wrapped with delivery from them, and I'll hopefully have the car done and that done on April 24th because we'll be doing – there's, like, in my city, there's a parade for, like, a little festival. And their company is, like, local. I mean, it's an app, but the owners are local, and that's, like, how I got to know them. So we're doing the parade with the car, like, in – for that festival. So that's the first thing we're doing. And then mainly all rounds of Pro-Am. Pro Bro Down, and then I really want to go out and hit one of the Gamblers, the 235 class at the FD track, because I just want to drive that track so bad.
What fun stuff are you doing?
Is
that all undecided?
Sort of undecided. I plan on doing. I want to hit Midvale up because like it's an hour and a half away, but I've never driven there.
What? So much fun.
Yeah.
How have you never driven Midvale?
I don't know. Oh. So I want to do Midvale. Plan on doing pit races. I don't really know which ones yet. Sort of whichever fall into place and I can afford. Yeah, Midvale pit race and then Painesville. Especially with their new series, not series, but their rule changes and stuff.
Yeah. Well, Fuck Winter Bash is in like a month from now.
A month?
A month from now. Get your car together. Come drive with me and Adam.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. You should. I gotta test. I really want to. Yeah, test the car before round one.
Well, round one's not for like months.
It's not until June.
Yeah. True. Yeah, and with the car being done in April, hopefully I'll get a lot of testing done.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. You know how that goes, though.
Yeah, it's the worst sometimes.
Yeah.
Tell us about your title sponsor. What is it?
Yeah, explain it to us.
So they do like parcel data, like so you can go on there and like look at property lines and like different like pieces of land and basically get all the info about them. So
that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really good if you're like realtor or like even like building certain things and like houses and stuff. So
that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Adam, if you'd like to get the questions ready.
Oh boy. I previewed these and
I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Before he gets those, do your brothers drift?
So my little brother, that's actually how we sort of got into the E46s. After I got my Orange Z, my dad's pretty much really involved, mainly just like supporting. But we decided we were like, well, because we used to be into four wheelers and all that stuff. We're like, well, as like just a hobby item, we'll get him a cheap E46 that's sort of already set up. And so my dad had bought him a car and he started driving before he even had a license. So the first time he drove a car was at Erie on the track. And he learned manual at the track. So I think he was 14 when he started. And yeah, so he drives and my older brother had bought a car to drive and he sort of, he likes the driving part, but he doesn't like the working on the car part, which is like 90% of it.
Dude, so, same.
Yeah. So, he drove a clinic or two last year, but he had car issues and he's sort of undecided what he wants to do. That car, actually, my dad bought to drive because my dad wanted to try. And the year before, I had them both use my car for a clinic and they both really enjoyed it. So my dad bought that car to drive, but with like the craziness of the events this year and trying to keep up with me and my little brother, like it was almost too much for him to drive. Cause like he would basically give up his seat time to help us. So, and he'd rather help us than drive. So then my brother bought that car off of him. And, that's me did the two clinics and he's figuring out what he wants to do this season. So
I think I actually went against your brother once at Painesville.
Yeah, you probably did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, it's crazy.
He's good. He's a shredder.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even have a handbrake in that car. Like
that's crazy.
Yeah. It's literally, it's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
And that's a crazy thing, too, is I think it's like the part of, like, he didn't pay for it or anything, so he doesn't care.
Yeah.
So, like, he throws it and rides walls and does everything, so.
It's awesome.
Oh, yeah, and I forgot, round one, while we were doing the, like, 2 weeks off thing, I don't know if you were there, Adam, but my brother, like, went head-on to the wall of Painesville, completely destroyed the chassis. Like,
I feel that was after the competition, right?
Yeah, like, that was, like, it was literally last lap of the night. Like,
yeah, I think I had already left. I think I dipped out already. Like, but, yeah, I seen the pictures.
Yeah, it was crazy because – yeah, we were in the midst of building my car, and he reshelled his car before spring mats as well. Let me see if I can. I don't know if you can see that.
If you send it to me, I'll put it in. But
yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
like crazy. But yeah, so while we were doing my car, he was reshelling his car in the same time span, and yeah, it was nuts. I also forgot to mention round three where I podiumed, I didn't realize a wastegate line was off, and so I was running like 8 pounds of boost. And then I like put it on and went to go at round four, and the car was completely different. So, jeez. Yeah.
Wow. You ready for questions?
Oh, yeah. Sort of.
Oh, let's see. Matthew Lang said, ask him why Matt Lang is his favorite Miata owner.
Oh, boy. Did you see the video of him two-stepping with no exhaust manifold on? Have you seen that?
No.
No? So I think it was the last Painesville this past year. He had, like, cracked part of the header or something. And so he's like, we got to take it off and re-weld it. And he had it off, but he has a two-step tune on his car. So, like, I forget the parameters. When he shifts, it, like, pops real hard. And he set the thing on limiter for, like, 20 seconds straight. And flames are, like, blowing out of the exhaust. Like, I'll send you the video. You can put it over this. But it was crazy. It was hilarious. Yeah. And those dudes, him and Walk, are – I think I saw Walk's question about them coming over and using the tire machine. Yeah. And then – so it was funny. My buddy Mitch had bought a Miata, and they started to get to know Matt through parts, and we didn't realize he was, like, 10 minutes away from my house. And then one day I saw in his story he was using a manual tire machine on his porch, and I was like – what are you doing? Like, come over and use the tire machine. Like, so that's how we started becoming friends. And they'll come over, mount tires before events and stuff, and we'll hang out. But, and they actually, this past season, like, were super helpful. And, like, they had wrapped cars before. And they were like, hey, just as a thank you to, like, you letting us use the tire machine and everything, we'll wrap your whole car. So they wrapped the whole car black. They were over here, like, they did it in, like, 3 days. It was nuts.
They're good dudes.
Yeah, they're really good dudes.
Let's see. Austin said, can I have his autograph?
Oh, yeah. Huh? I don't know, you might have to pay a price for that one.
Oh.
Don't give that man anything. He doesn't deserve it.
Yeah.
let's see. Andrew Falk said, how big is it?
I don't know.
I don't even know what that means. So I have an idea, but
yeah. Hey.
Let's see. Ben Bruno has a really good question.
Yeah.
Says, do you like competing more at Painesville or Erie, and why? And do you plan on competing in both again this year?
Okay. So I think this past year I enjoyed competing at Erie more, just because of the structure. Like, they run that whole thing so well. But I know they're making changes this year for Painesville, so we'll see how that goes. And I'm gonna try to get out to as many rounds as I can, depending on financials and everything. But I do plan on competing at Painesville, and I know, you know, Josh, the judging and everything is a little questionable.
I was there, I saw it. Saw it firsthand. I was in the booth.
Yeah, me too. I was at it the round before, and I was like, So I'm glad they're making changes, because I know, I like watching back the footage, I agree with Ben. I think he should have won that, the one that I won. But
it could have won either way.
Yeah, I think I thought it was going to be a one more time. I think
they were just done with the comp, and they're like, we're just gonna.
That's the other thing is I felt like last year the comp felt more of a rush to like get it over with, because everyone else wanted to drive and it wasn't that much of a priority. So I'm glad Ben's stepping up, and it's cool to see him changing stuff and making sure it's properly done, because I think that's what it needed.
Yeah.
Yep. Not really too many great ones left here, but
they don't have to be great. They just got to be asked.
Yeah. Yep. Bryce said, how many milkshakes does it take to bring the boys to the what flavor are you going with?
Got to go with cookies and cream.
Cookies and cream.
Yeah. Yep.
I like it. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Let's, I don't know. I think as many as you want.
There you go. As many as it takes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a personal preference.
Yeah. Let's see. Aaron Lyon said, did your mom tell you I said hi?
Oh, boy. I know what he's talking about. He's a big mom lover.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Gosh, she looks so confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taylor Braun said, what's the total loss beef? But we already got into that. Cover so. That. Yeah.
It is not brisket.
It is not brisket.
Yeah. That was hilarious. The post they made. I was laughing.
I did not see their post. So.
You didn't see their post?
No.
I'll have to send that to you.
All right.
Limp Brisket made a post similar to.
Oh, they did?
You didn't see that?
No.
Oh, boy. I'll have to send it to you because it's funny.
That's all the questions I got, though. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us today.
Yep, thanks for having me. Why do you guys start this? It's cool to get perspective from all the local people, all your friends and stuff. Yeah.
It's definitely a fun thing to do for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. We are the Dangerous Knights Drift Crew. And our good friend Colin. And yeah, thanks for watching. And go work on your car or something. All of
you. I probably should do that.
Yeah. Even if you listen to this and you have a car or you don't have a car, go help a friend with a car. Because the season starts really soon.
Yeah, it does.
Yes.
Sooner than you think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And good night.